Joining us live on the phone this morning. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me with you today.
Certainly a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us today. We want to talk about a couple of pieces of legislation you've been working on. You're reintroducing an act today on an issue you've been involved with for some time concerning prescription drug and heroin abuse. Tell us about the legislation and what you're wanting to accomplish with this.
Yeah, what we're hoping to do is try to affect this tragic situation we have with prescription drugs and with heroin in our state. And so what our legislation does is it provides additional assistance not only to our law enforcement but to our courts to try to deal with this. It sets up a system to help our doctors and our pharmacists and others with best prescription practices. So they can learn, here's a prescription practice that works better than this particular prescription practice. And so that's another part. And then the third is trying to make sure that as we look at it, that as we use best prescription practices, we also put in place like a lineup of here's what we should be doing in this prescription place, here's what we should be doing in this prescription situation. And so what we're trying to do is take this head on at the source, which is prescription drugs, the illicit use of prescription drugs, and the increasing use of heroin.
And this kind of expands on some legislation that dealt with the same issue last year, right?
It does, and what it is an expansion of that legislation. We've broadened it out a little bit. We've increased the coalition of members who want to help, and so our chances for success look very good.
And on a local level, you know, what does this do for John Q. Public here in Washington, Indiana?
Well, here's what it does. We're dealing with a very difficult situation not too far away over in Scott County, mm-hmm. In the town of Austin, where we've had a huge spike in the use of opioid prescription drugs, where we've seen a lot of the population with needle exchanges going on, that one uses it, the next one uses it, the next one uses it. And I know this is an unpleasant subject, but what we're working to do is to try to eliminate the source of the prescription, the illicit prescription drugs, and then try to eliminate the source of the HIV.
Okay. We'll switch gears here and talk about some other legislation that coincides with Financial Literacy and Month, but it's geared toward college students. You're wanting to make sure that students know what they're doing when they're looking to get an education, right?
Well, I think this is a great program that's going to enable our students from Davis County, from Washington, from all around the region, that when they're done with college, they actually have more money in their pocket and less student debt. And so that's a good thing all the way around. What we're working on is trying to make sure that a program that's been used just up the road at IU, that this program gives to each student at the beginning of the year a sheet that tells them, here's how much student debt you have, here's how much you'll expect to have at the end, here's what your monthly payment is, and here's what your interest rate is. So it's in effect a one-pager. It's not complicated. It doesn't make it very difficult for people to figure it out. And by having this in front of them, like right in front of the windshield, we've been able to reduce student debt at IU alone just by $70 million in the last 2 years. So those kind of savings for families we're trying to extend throughout the country.
So financial literacy is kind of going by the wayside. We really do need to educate people about this, right?
Oh, yeah. The more you know, the better off you are. And so it's one of those things. It can't do anything but help. You know, at the end, you may have a little bit more money to maybe buy a car or to get a little bit nicer apartment when you finish up. And so the more knowledge you have, the better off you are.
Well, again, Senator, we thank you for joining us this morning. Before we let you go, do you have any comments or thoughts on what's happening in Baltimore from a U.S. government standpoint?
It is really sad to see what's happened there. Order has been restored. Those people who did this, they're just criminals. They are not reflective of the people of the city of Baltimore. And we see order has been restored. We've got to work together on a number of fronts. On short term, just making sure that the protection of property is taking place, that people's rights are respected. On the long term, we have so many family challenges and educational challenges, and those have to be dealt with on the long term. But right now, everybody who lives in that city has a right to be able to sit on their front porch at 9 o'clock at night and feel safe. And it's our obligation and responsibility to make sure that happens.
Well, again, Senator, we thank you for joining us. Anything else you want to add this morning?
just how glad I am to be on the air with you and to say hello to everybody in Davis County.
All right. Thanks a lot, Senator, and we'll talk to you
again
soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks, my friend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Senator, U.S. Senator Joe Donnelly from South Bend, Indiana's junior senator, joining us this morning on the 810 News. It is 45 degrees right now, and we'll check the forecast for the rest of the week from Jesse Walker just ahead.